WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I've met along the way.
This is PC3.
Hey, this is Max Brown, King Robert from the Royals.
This is the undisputed future Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
I'm Bristol.
And I'm Aubrey from ATTV Flipper Flop Vegas.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
Yes, this is Broken, not Haughty.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rap. And you're listening to the greatest rack.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Fly, my pretties, fly.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
With your host...
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers! And her producer... Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
This right here means I'm the champ that runs the camp.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to reference over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, we thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you have a Twitch Prime sub available, please click the purple button above your technology screen. And, you know, feel free to use it here, but if you prefer to use it somewhere else, well, we understand, but we'd really like you to use it here because, you know, we got to support the channel. We got bills to pay, too. So anyway, I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
We're here. We're live. And we're talking about a feed. At Rack Radio Show, at Wild Talk Radio, at Lindsay Ward on Twitter. The website she just mentioned, WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com, Twitch.tv/WTRLives, how you can interact with us live tonight, because we're reviewing SummerSlam.
We have a lot to get into tonight, and a bunch of it is Bray Wyatt related. I'm sure you're all so shocked that I'm just beyond beside myself with glee that we get to do this. But I have waited and waited and waited to talk about SummerSlam because we have to talk about the Fiend Bray Wyatt. We have to talk about what happened with that. And I mean, just the rest of the show in general too, but.
But here's the thing. We had one Bray Wyatt segment planned tonight. One.
One.
And then news broke. So now the second segment, which was going to be Bray Wyatt free, is now covered in Bray Wyatt.
This is just the Bray Wyatt show.
It's just the Bray Wyatt show tonight.
We just should talk about him for the next hour and a half, it's fine.
That might be a thing. We may mix in Trish Stratus or Charlotte or Bayley or Alexa Bliss or whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
But it's going to revolve around a fiend named Bray Wyatt.
Yes, because Baby made his presence felt at SummerSlam, and he had the entrance that broke the internet. So we're going to get into that here in a minute. Before we talk about Boo Boo, general impressions of the show. What do we both think about the show as impartially as possible? In terms of 4 days later, what is still with you?
The only thing the biggest takeaway from the show was the women were really, really good. Well, two of the three matches were really good. There was one.
Hold on. Bye, Brent. See ya. Anyway, go on.
He's out because we're talking about Bray Wyatt. No. He'll be back in a little bit. So, yeah, the women stole the show. That to me, that's how that went. Yeah, there were good wrestling elsewhere, but to me, two of the three women's matches were the standouts to me. Bray Wyatt came out, delivered an awesome experience like Bray Wyatt knows how to do, and the main event was what it was.
Honestly, I thought the main event was good.
No, it was the Brock and Seth was really good. It wasn't a great wrestling match. It was a good fight. But in terms of wrestling, the women had the better wrestling matches. Even with an AJ Styles Ricochet on the card, I thought the women put on better wrestling matches.
Agreed. Completely agreed. Especially, we have to call out Trish and Charlotte. That match lit it up. Just absolutely lit it up. I mean, you know, we'll get a little bit more in-depth to it later, but both women showed up, and Trish decided if this was going to be her last match, she was going out on a humdinger, and damn it if she didn't do it. So
she delivered. Becky and Natty also delivered a really good psychological match based on submissions.
And you know what? Why don't we start there?
Okay, let's start there.
So Becky opened the show, which was an interesting choice, all things considered. And I have to appreciate the fact that Becky and Natty met the studs, pleather, leather, and mesh quotient, or quota, I should say, before this match ever started. They did a wonderful job coordinating their gear, and Natty's jacket was sick. It was so sick. If you didn't see it, it was like a mirror jacket, and it was just really neat how they made it. But yeah, this was a fantastic opening contest for this show. Becky and Natty both delivered. It was a submission match, so there were no pinfalls. There were no DQs, nothing like that. I have one real criticism of this match.
Before you get to the criticism, the big highlight to me was the sharpshooter in the corner.
That was good.
But what's your criticism?
My criticism is like, at one point, Natty's got Becky in the sharpshooter, and Becky claws her way over to the ropes and gets under the ropes. And I thought that even in a submission match, that when you get to the ropes, you're supposed to break the hold. I could be completely wrong on that, but that was my general impression of it. And they did not make Natty break the hold. I understand it was basically the bridge to Becky putting the disarmer on Natty and winning the match, but they didn't force Natty to break the hold. And I felt like they should have, because like Becky's just like hanging over the ring, clawing onto the ring apron, you know, in agony. And I'm not criticizing Becky, Brent. Anyway, and Natty's still got the sharpshooter on her. Half. She's like holding her up, basically.
It's weird. That rule is weird. Sometimes they enforce the rule. Sometimes they don't. They decide at that given moment, hey, this is what we're doing. Because it used to be you go to the ropes, it breaks. Sometimes.
Yeah.
But now it doesn't seem like they enforce that all the time based on the story they're trying to tell.
I guess. But I mean, and maybe because she didn't have the hold on her when Becky was in the ropes, technically it was broken. Like Natty was just holding onto her legs. It would not let go of her. But I thought you had to completely break contact.
It all depends on how they want to do the rules. And apparently on that night, they weren't using the rope break as the way to get to that finish.
Which is fine. That was just my only real... That kind of took me out of the match for a moment. But it's like, beyond that, this was really, really good. I love how they're writing the Becky character and how she played off of Natty. Because in terms of acting, Natty is Natty. She tries really, 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 really beyond super duper hard. But she doesn't always succeed with the acting. I feel like she's gotten better.
She's definitely gotten better.
like she's gotten either some coaching or they've been working with her or something, because she can take herself more out of herself now than she ever could before, but she's still just not quite there of letting it all go. But Becky did a really great job of working with that and, you know, making them both look like absolute rock stars in terms of the way that they were telling the story and the way that the characters are supposed to be reacting within this moment. It was all perfect. But in the end, Becky Lynch puts Natty down for the disarmer, gets the tap, and still your Raw Women's Champion, Becky Lynch.
Yeah. So one of the least talked about moments should have been a bigger moment, and maybe because it was on the pre-show, not a lot of people wanted to talk about it, but Edge.
Holy crap, Edge. Edge, how could we forget Edge?
Edge hit a spear for the first time in a decade.
And he looked so happy.
I was legit surprised they let him do it.
I think he's, like, rehabbed enough or he's distant enough from it that it's okay for him to do, like, one move.
Yeah, but they were so careful with him, what, a couple years ago, 3 years ago, when he was actually involved in a story. It was like, they weren't letting him do it, and it's like now he was able to come in and do a spear out of nowhere. It's like, okay.
But I think that was because he was involved in other projects, and so they couldn't risk him getting hurt.
But I think he's still involved. I guess he's just in better, I guess the way they did it, it didn't impact the neck at all, so I don't know. But it was weird. It was weird that he came out and he did it. And
it was fantastic that he came out and he did it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like, just to hear Edge's music, because Edge literally has some of the best music in all of WWE. Like, just to hear that, you know, opening riff, and then you're like, yeah!
It was a big surprise.
It was a huge surprise. It's great to see him.
It sucks it was on the pre-show and they didn't save it for the main show, but yeah, it was cool.
Well, I think it's like you were able to get away with it on the pre-show because not as many people are watching, so it's like, you know, to have Edge hit the spear.
Actually, more people were technically watching because it was free on YouTube and stuff, but yeah.
Yeah, I guess, but still.
So the setup to it was Elias was singing, Edge interrupted, and he hit the spear on Elias. That's how that went.
And we're all fine with that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, one other thing. Another MVP of the show was R-Truth and Carmella.
My God.
They were one hiding under the table, the for the pre-show table. And then later they were the on International a Row as announcers. I was like, oh, that's perfect.
That's exactly what you need right here.
Yeah. So to quickly recap, Drew Gulak retained his title. Apollo Crews and Buddy Murphy had a match. Eric Rowan beat up Buddy Murphy. We later found out on SmackDown Buddy was lying. It was not Eric Rowan who attacked. We'll find out who it is next week.
It was Eric Rowan.
Maybe. We'll see.
Because after SmackDown went off the air, Daniel Bryan supposedly kneed Eric Rowan in the side of the head.
Huh. I didn't hear about that. Okay.
I saw that somewhere. Somebody confirm if that's true or not, but that's the story going around, is that Daniel Bryan kneed Rowan in the side of the head. Which, by the way, I have a working theory. Not that they're going to get back together. I kind of hope that they don't. But, you know, Eric Rowan was fine before a Fiend showed up. Now he's kind of maybe sort of hurting people again. I mean, and Daniel Bryan's losing his stuff. I mean, no. Certain people have effects on certain people. Could be, maybe. I don't know. Anyway, next match.
Oh, and Buzz Lightyear, Alexa Bliss, and Nikki Cross retained their titles against the Iconics on the pre-show.
Which was an entertaining little match. The best part of this match was honestly Corey Graves. I thought he was going to have a heart attack, like, right there. Well, that's a really bad reference. I'm sorry. I apologize for that. He's going to, like, lose his stuff, like, right there, just from the amount of ways he was yelling about Disney.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he was. Oh, to update on the Daniel Bryan thing, it was in the dark match. It was just the way to get to the finish. That's all it was. It was an accident only. It was not intentional.
Okay,
all
right.
Fair so enough. It was a dark match finish because they were fighting heavy machinery.
That's oh, all. Damn it! We missed Bryan and Otis!
I know. It was the dark match. I know.
Give me Bryan and Otis! Give it to me!
I know. So
anyway.
So that was all the pre-show. Corey Graves was about to lose it, and yeah. I actually enjoyed the tag match. It was pretty solid. I dig the Iconics act, and I thought they were at their best on this one.
I love the Iconics, but for me, I can only take so much of the Iconics.
Oh, yeah.
So this was the perfect amount of them right here. Because it's like they have those really high-pitched shrill voices, and it's like, after a while, you're just like, please stop talking. Please stop talking. Please stop. Please stop screaming in the ring. That's my other thing, is I don't like when the women scream in the ring when they're wrestling. It's like, please don't do that. I mean, I get it. I completely get it, but it's just, it's annoying to me.
To get through a few more little items from SummerSlam, Goldberg speared Ziggler a bunch of times. Ziggler kept saying, "Give me, you're a coward, haha, hit me again, hit me, you hit like a baby, haha, hit me again." So he beat him with a spear jackhammer after two super kicks from Ziggler had no really effect on him. He came back two more times, hit the spears.
But this was perfect for Goldberg. This was, let's all be honest, because we said it when we predicted it, this was Goldberg's redeeming moment for Super Showdown to prove that, one, he can still wrestle, and two, that what happened in Saudi Arabia was a complete and utter fluke. And that's pretty much what this was. So they put him out there against Ziggler. Ziggler talked a good game, built him up, and then took the spears like a champ. And, you know, they let Goldberg be dominant. This was quick. This was easy. And this was exactly what this really should have been in Saudi Arabia. That's what the match should have been.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, it wasn't, and that's fine, and whatever happened, happened, and it's behind us now, so now Taker has redeemed himself, and Goldberg has redeemed himself, and they can move forward. But this was good, this was fine.
It was exactly what it needed to be. AJ Styles, Ricochet, solid matchup, pretty good.
I liked Ricochet's gear.
His gear was cool, but it wasn't the classic I was hoping for.
No, they kind of dialed it back a little bit for this one.
So it was just your solid wrestling, solid, a really good match, good finish. AJ retained, the OC attacked afterwards, leaving him laying. It was everything it needed to be. It moved the story along. AJ retains, he's still your champion. So you go from there.
So, 1, 2, 3, solid. Can't complain. One thing we should note, okay, on the pre-show was AJ Styles was going around visiting his old buddies with, you know, the club in tow.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the people they went to go visit was, well, Finn Balor, where they tried to offer their help to Finn Balor against The Fiend, and Balor was like, well, no, I got it. It's fine. I faced Bray Wyatt before. I know what I'm getting into. I'm not going to play his game.
Well.
Oh, Finbert. Finn. So, I want to say Bray Wyatt for last.
We're going to get to him last. Trust me. I know where we're headed on this one. Oh. So, Bayley and Ember was okay for the SmackDown Women's title. Okay. And I used this analogy on Sunday. I'm going to use it here. So, remember how on the TakeOver show, we talked about how Io and Candice got the crowd?
Mm-hmm.
They never got the crowd. They never got them to where they needed to be. They never captured their attention. They never took them for the ride. It was a solid match, but it wasn't the breakout performance they needed.
I would agree with that. I mean, this was great. This was a really good wrestling match, don't get me wrong, but this lacked, I think, some of the heat that Becky and Natty had, and even Charlotte and Trish to an extent. This didn't have that same story behind it, and so it was kind of like the match, while on its own was a really good wrestling match, that just the story was not there for it, and therefore they couldn't pull the crowd really into it. That being said, Ember's gear was sick.
Oh, yeah, it was. Because they did not do a good enough job on the back end of building up Ember. They slacked. They did not give her enough momentum going into the show to where the fans could really get behind her and believe that she was going to win this match. And that's where they lost it. They did not give enough believability to make it work.
Mm-mm. No, I would agree with that 100%.
So that was the biggest issue to me with how the matchup went.
But ultimately, Bayley retained her title, and Ember is sent packing, unfortunately. So I hope they continue this feud. I hope they give it a little bit more fire. Fire puns are intentional, by the way. And just really build this, because I feel like you could do a really strong story between Bayley and Ember, especially now that Bayley has kind of like grown out of the pure hugging gimmick, and she's sort of this snarky little miss right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I really like what they're doing with Bayley's character right now, where she's still, the essence of Bayley is there, but she's a more adult version of Bayley, which is nice.
Bayley's grown up.
Bailey's grown up, she's seen some things, and she started people's stuff. So she's going to do something about it.
She's going to do something about it. So that was that. Kevin Owens and Shane McMahon, enjoyable. It was a lot of fun. Elias played his role as guest enforcer really well, trying to get the false finishes and the cheap heat and everything like that. And then you saw the beatdown. And then he just, Kevin Owens went off.
The best part of this was they played the stipulation in this to a T. Because the whole stipulation in this match is if Kevin Owens loses for any reason, doesn't matter what it is, he has to quit WWE. So at some point in this match, Kevin Owens decides he just really wants to hit somebody with a chair. And the match is still going on. So he grabs a chair and the ref's like, dude, if you do it, you gotta leave, just so you know. So the ref's actually trying to kind of talk him out of it. And Kevin's just standing over Shane with a chair. And he's like, I want to do it. I want to do it. It would be totally worth it to do it. Because it's like, in that moment, you're like, this would be 100% worth it. But ultimately, logic prevailed. And Kevin did not hit Shane with the chair. Instead, he just beat the crap out of Elias with the chair.
Which, on SmackDown, cost him $100,000.
You know, there are just some things in life that are worth it. I don't know if it's worth 100K, but, you know. Okay.
But yeah, it was cool. It was especially... What I liked on SmackDown was Kevin did not just shrug it off. It's like, oh, it's you just find me, haha. He's like, you just that's $100,000, and he was really pissed off about it because you know you see fines and everything, and you don't see the wrestlers get pissed off, but it's like $100,000. That's a lot of money, and that was a good way to sell it.
Mm-hmm. That was great, and the reason why he got the $100,000 fine, by the way, is because Elias was acting as a special enforcer, so he had the referee shirt on at the time, making him an official of the company, so that carries a pretty hefty punishment if one decides to smack around a referee with a chair.
Yeah.
Just saying.
So there was that. Let's see. What else was on this show? Oh, yeah. Charlotte and Trish. This was excellent.
Trish's gear bothered me in this. She looked fantastic. It's Trish. She's not going to look anything less than stellar. But she had these really weird, like, hip cutouts on her gear. And it was just like, what is going on with that? And then she had, like, a gold sequin pattern on her butt that just...
She had a golden ass.
She had a golden ass. She had golden tits and golden ass. And, I mean, they looked both fantastic. But, like, the gear was just a little weird. And it was a little distracting from this. But that being said... Trish Stratus, my God, I wish I could look like her in my 40s, because Jesus!
After two kids, by the way.
After two kids.
Yeah.
She is like body goals. She always was, but especially now, she is like body goals, because she just looks wonderful. And, I mean, honestly, her getting in the ring with Charlotte, it did not look like she's missed a day. I know we say this every time we see Trish wrestle, but swear to God, not a day. Not a day.
She hung there with Charlotte. She hung in there really well. Her doing her own version of the figure eight was really nicely done.
Mm-hmm. We were sitting here watching, and it's like when your opponent does the figure eight better than you do the figure eight, that would be Trish Stratus.
So yeah, this was... I had low expectations for it. It exceeded everything I thought it was going to be, and then some.
I don't know if I necessarily had low expectations for it. I don't think I knew what to expect. Like, I knew Charlotte and... Trish have been working together.
So, but I came in with the expectations. This is Trish's first singles match in 8 years. I wasn't expecting her to do a lot. I thought the smoke, mirrors, you name it. You know, get you by. Do the hits. But they did more than the hits. They told a really good story in the ring. And it was really impressive. I enjoyed this one.
I knew the stakes were going to be higher because it was Trish's last match. Like, they made it very, very clear that this is it. This is all you're going to get. She's not going to get in the ring anymore after this. So I knew the expectations were set there that she's not going to half-ass this.
Mm-hmm.
She's not. She's going to, knowing her and having watched her for years, she's going to put everything she has into this. And she did. She absolutely did. I mean, I was severely impressed with this. And it's almost like you're sitting there watching her. It's like, don't go. Don't leave us. Because, I mean, she did. She absolutely hung with Charlotte. Absolutely did. And I love that she did that. Because I feel like Trish and that era, and even the era after, the Diva era, kind of get overlooked. And people kind of thumb their noses at it a little bit because of what it sort of represents. And I understand that. But people don't give those women credit. Because they worked so incredibly hard to, one, get where they were, especially someone like Trish. She came in as a valet. She didn't know how to wrestle. She didn't know how to do anything. She's a fitness model that they signed. And they taught her how to wrestle, and she's now a Hall of Famer. So what does that tell you about how hard she busted her backside to get where she is?
Mm-hmm.
And she proved that she's every bit as good as Charlotte, and that the women of that era are every bit as good as the women of the modern era. And I liked that. I mean, in the end, Trish did lose, but it is her last match, so that, you know, we were kind of all expecting that. She did the thing, she did the job. I kind of half wish she hadn't done it for Charlotte, but it's okay that she did. Like, I have no way to render an opinion otherwise, but because it's like that's a heat of the moment kind of thing for it.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's like, yeah, she laid down for Charlotte. I guess that's okay. Like, I knew that was coming, but all right, I'm over it. And that's what it was. But it was really good. It was really enjoyable, and I was super proud of both of them. She also mentioned Charlotte worked her butt off, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
She did. Like, they had great chemistry in the ring. Absolutely wonderful. This was by far the top women's match of the night, I would have to say.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree. Kofi retained his belt after a double countout against Randy Orton.
This was awkward. This was, I mean, it was a fine match, but in terms of everything that was on this card that night, I would have to say that the finish on this match kind of put the bar low for this one and just made it, kind of ruined it a little bit.
Okay. All right. Should I really, do I need to go there with this, or should I just move on and say it was a solid match?
What are you going to say?
Okay, everybody. Kofi Kingston is great, but his matches, his title matches, come off as mid-card matches. They don't have the main event level feel. They just don't. It's not taking anything away from Kofi. They just come off as a mid-card act that you can look up and down the pay-per-views since he's been champion. They've all under-delivered. They've been solid wrestling matches, but they never got the crowd. It's been simply flat mid-card style matches, whether it was with Owens or Dolph or whoever. They were just there. Like, even the Samoa Joe match, it was there. He made them look good, but they're mid-card matches. The title's not taking him up to a higher point than it is. This is who Kofi is. He's a good mid-card worker who's your WWE champion. Not taking anything away from what he's accomplished, but there's a point where you have to look at it. Has he delivered? And it's like, solid wrestling, yeah, but he's not driving.
He's been good on the mic. He's been good. He's been solid in the ring. But in terms of the feuds, in terms of the heat in the feuds, it hasn't been there. And you would think with Randy and all the history that's there with Randy and the fact that they even drew on it and brought it up, that Randy Orton did all these things to stop Kofi Kingston. You would think, supposedly, add that in, supposedly, you would think that there would have been more just intensity in this, and Kofi would have had more of an axe to grind. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't there. And the flip side to that is Randy wasn't really that vicious.
No, they wrestled.
And nor it's like you would, again, you would think that it's like Kofi would be like, I have something to prove against you because you're the reason all of this started. And now here we are, however many years later, and I'm the champion and you're trying to take this title and you don't think I deserve it. I'm going to prove to you that I deserve it. I'm going to make you believe in me by the time that we're done with this. And at the same time, have Randy seething that it's like, you don't belong here. And I'm going to show you why you don't belong here. And I know they said a lot of this stuff in the promos, but it's like, it's just in terms of the story that they told in the ring, it was just there. It wasn't any of that. And then the finish was awkward because it was a double count out.
Yeah. And I gave the prime example how you could have fixed this on Sunday. And it's very simple. You do everything you did, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when Randy looks at the kids, Kofi goes off and gets DQ'd before the 10 count, because then it all makes sense. Kofi getting DQ'd advances the story. Double countout just means you just wasted our time. At least
yeah.
With the DQ, it gives a reason for the rematch. Mm-hmm. I know on SmackDown, Randy laid everyone out with RKOs, and that's going to get you to the next match. It would have stayed a DQ. Kofi taking it really personal would have added it to one more layer, and you didn't have to change anything you did other than the result. Randy wins by DQ. That was it. That's all it needed to be.
All you had to do was have Randy walk out on SmackDown Tuesday night and look Kofi in the face and go, I told you you couldn't beat me on your own.
Mm-hmm.
I told you you weren't good enough. Sunday proved it. And that's when you have Kofi just smack him upside the head and be like, all right, you want to go? Let's go. Clash of Champions. You and me one more time.
So, there's that.
There's that. I mean, this was by far, in terms of really good matches on the show, this was just there. This was probably one of the weakest matches on the show. It was still good, but it was just, in terms of story, it just wasn't there.
Okay. Now, I need to point out a couple things. And this is, we're now going to transition into Hairgate SummerSlam Edition. First, Hairgate is Xavier Woods' hair. Not as bad, it's just, let's talk about his hair.
Dude, he looks so sick. So, so sick. That man knows how to get his hair done. In case you don't know, he did a Stevie Wonder tribute where he had it all braided, and he had the beads on the bottom, and he was walking around with the big sunglasses, and he just looked so good.
And then...
doesn't top the pompadour.
But, so, that's the good, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mike Rome.
What the hell? Just what the hell? I mean, no offense, Mike Rome, but what did he do to his hair? Did he lose a bet? Like, I really want to know, did Mike Rome lose a bet? Because I feel like to do that to his hair, because it's the most, it's like, it's okay if you wanted to go blonde, but it's this, it's really weird how they dyed it.
Mm-hmm.
Because they bleached his head, like his entire head, but his beard is still a weird color. Like, I don't even know how to describe it. Hold on, I gotta Google Mike Rome's hair, because I gotta remember what it looked like. I just remember the top being, like, white. And it's like, what just happened there with that one? Hold on. Mike Rome's hair. Is he dating Alexa Bliss?
I don't know. Is he?
I don't know. Anyway, LeMans, to answer your question back about Alexa, speaking of her and Trish, they could do it, but I have a really funny feeling that it's not going to be the case that she's done. Like, she's done in terms of Trish. And as much as Alexa wants it, unless they're willing to shell out for Trish, she's not going to get it. Because I don't even think Trish would come back at this point. I think that was legit it.
Money talks, you never know.
Money talks, but I just, for her, I feel like she's had enough. And it would have to be a really tempting offer to get her to come back to do Alexa, unless she just really wants to wrestle Alexa.
Mm-hmm.
Which she could. She really could, but I mean, I think for Trish, this is it. She's done.
So anyway, so his hair was just awful on Sunday, and I think he made it better as it.
I think they messed with it a little bit because a lot of people were talking about it on social about, wait, what happened to Mike Rome's hair?
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think anybody was really sure what was going on. He calls himself Klondike Mike. Oh.
No, that's a sponsor thing.
Oh, that's a sponsor thing?
Yeah, okay. Klondike is doing something on the Twitters.
You win the lifetime of Klondikes, that's right.
Yeah, yeah.
Got it.
Anyway, back to the show. Then you had your main event. It was Brock and Seth Rollins. Really good. Really fun. Lesnar worked his ass off.
Mm-hmm. Brock showed up to work.
Lesnar swung Rollins around by his taped ribs, which was awesome.
And that had to hurt.
That had to hurt. And then Rollins escaped an F5, hit the stomp, became your new champion.
In probably one of the biggest surprises of the night, because I don't think anybody really thought that Seth stood a chance against Brock. I think legitimately everybody was like, Seth's not going to win. It's Brock. The Fox deal is coming. Why would they put it back on Seth? And I'll be damned if they didn't surprise us and put the title back on Seth Rollins. Against all odds, he wins. LOL, Seth wins.
I predicted that correct.
Yeah, I know you did. Shut up. And so your new WWE champion, and there will be no rematch with Brock Lesnar, by the way, Seth Rollins. I liked this. I thought this was a fun match. I liked how they had Seth come out and say the Monday before SummerSlam, this is all I have. This is it. This is my life. I will beat Brock Lesnar. I will do whatever I have to beat Brock Lesnar. It was a nice way of telling the story, because like, Brock doesn't care. Brock's just here for the title and the money. It means nothing to him. But to Seth, this is everything. This is his life. There is no backup plan for Seth. It's either he succeeds or he doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
And that made it much more of a do or die situation for Seth than it did for Brock. So I like that.
All right. And I think with that, we're going to break.
No.
You're tuned into the record. No.
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 No. Because we have to talk about one more thing. We saved it for last. Had to get the other wrestling in because now, ladies and gentlemen, by the way, you're listening to The Rack on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We're going to talk about The Fiend, Bray Wyatt, who made his presence felt in the semi-main, second to last match of the night, by the way, go boo boo go, at SummerSlam. Like, you knew this was big when he was semi-main.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever this was going to be, this was going to be big. They had plans for it because they put him on really, really, really late. Nobody knew what this was going to be. Nobody was sure, but it was Finn Balor versus The Fiend. And we have to talk about the symbolism in this before we even talk about Bray's entrance. Finn Balor coming out in all white, like some goddamn sacrificial lamb for Bray Wyatt. Can we just not? Like, y'all are out here doing this poetic symbolic stuff, and I'm just sitting here like, God damn it, why does this have to be that deep? Why? I mean, don't get me wrong, I loved it. I loved everything about it. I love when they do stuff like that, but it's just like, Finn. Really? Okay. So, then Bray comes out. Now, we were debating on last Thursday, was The Fiend going to get an entrance? Was The Fiend not going to get an entrance? And we were all kind of the same opinion. The Fiend is not going to get an entrance unless they do the entrance right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Mr. Let Him In.
Let Me In.
Came out with his newly remixed theme music.
Which you heard at the top of the show.
If you're just joining us and you missed it, you're going to have to go back and listen to it on the archive. Or you can go to YouTube after the show is over, because we don't want you doing it during, and listen to the song. It is a remixed version of Broken Out in Love, because that's the actual title of the song, not Live in Fear. Broken Out in Love. So they remixed it. They made it darker. They made it dirtier. They made it edgier. They made it more metal. So you have the opening strains like you normally had. And then you have people screaming Hurt and Heal for a little bit. And then you go into the actual song, which is very eerie and spooky sounding. And it's like, this was perfect. The entrance is all dark. You have the flashing lights that the Fiend tends to get. You had this nasty red writing that looks like blood or, you know, scratches or whatever. Like, this was all perfect. And then he comes out. Cinematography, y'all. Cinematography on this was just brilliant. Whoever shot this, whoever made this, whoever was involved in this entire thing, give them all raises. Because this was beautiful. Terrifying, but beautiful. So you have Bray come out, and they just kind of, and he emerges from the darkness. And he's pretty much, he's in the Fiend gear, so he's got the coat with the black top and the pants and the shoes and everything. But he comes out with a very familiar glowing item. Except glowing item, aka the Bray Wyatt lantern that he's known for, is just a little different.
Just a little bit.
Because, ladies and gentlemen, it is in fact Swamp Bray Wyatt's head with a lantern shoved inside of it. And your handle for said lantern is the hair on former Bray Wyatt's head. So you have the symbolism of the Fiend carrying Bray Wyatt's disembodied head to the ring with him.
Mm-hmm.
One, is that child okay? Like, and this is where I actually worry about the person behind the mask, because it's like, that is like so dark and so twisted. It's like, are you all right up in your skull? Like, are you sure you're okay? Like, have you just, you know, has anybody made sure that everything's spinning all right up there? Because that's a little dark. Just a little. It was gruesome as hell. The eyelids were shown shut. You just had this, like, I think what gets me about it is not, like, the actual face, But the way that they stretch the mouth around the bottom of the lantern.
Yeah.
It just looks so gross. Like, and it's really realistic too. And there's been a ton of debate about that lantern because it's like, is he going to get to use that on TV or not? Because that's just a little north of PG, y'all.
Seeing as they put out the
picture of it,
it's going
to
be fine.
Yeah. I mean, he had to get that cleared. He had to get that approved. So he gets to use it. But yeah, so he sort of shuffles his way to the ring. He leaves the lantern on the edge. He does his whole little entrance. There's no more twirl, which makes me a little sad. Finn is shook. He is snatchballed. He doesn't quite know what to make of this. Because, you know, we get the hood flip up and there's the fiend's face with the mask and everything. And for a second it looked like it was a different mask, but it's like, no, it's the same one. And then the lights come up. And then we see the fiend in all of his glory. And we see Finn. And we have ourselves a little match. And the fiend was primarily dominant in this match. Where he was just wailing on Finn for about, what, 90% of it?
Mm-hmm.
And then Finn gets an opportunity where the fiend stops and he looks at the hurt heel gloves and he's trying to decide and you see him sort of like fighting it, you know, mentally struggling with it in terms of what he's going to do. Is he going to hurt Finn or is he going to heal him? What is he going to do? And he's struggling with the decision and you see him sort of in anguish. And mind you, the face is staying the same. The entire time, you don't have the facial features, so the body language that happened here, acting, they are tapping this man's talent right here. You see the anguish in his movements and in his body language and everything, and Bray finally makes this decision as the fiend of, you know what, I'm going to hurt Finn. And right about that time that he makes the decision, Finn kicks him in the face, and Finn starts to fight, and he gets absolutely nowhere, because he just gets shut down. We see a mimicked neck snap, which I don't know if he's going to get to use again, given current news in the US right now. And we saw the Sister Abigail, the kiss is still there, and a choke slam. And 1, 2, 3.
No, it's the mandible claw.
Right. He went for the Sister Abigail. He couldn't get the Sister Abigail, so he goes for the mandible claw. He passes Finn out. Your winner, the fiend, Bray Wyatt, and then he sluttily lays on top of Finn Balor.
Then the lights go out and he runs up the stage and he does the Undertaker look back at the ring. Because, you know, reasons.
Mm-hmm. Like you do. This was excellent. This was absolutely excellent, the way that they did this. This was everything this needed to be, and then some. And I mean, all anybody has talked about since SummerSlam is this entrance. In particular, that lantern. This was so impactful. Like, the next day, all the stories were this.
Yep.
Not that Seth Rollins won the title. Not that Becky Lynch retained. Not that Trish Stratus goddamn retired. Oh no! None of that! Bray Wyatt and his freaky ass lantern were everywhere. That's all anybody was talking about.
He was the star of the show.
This was his coming out party, and he delivered.
He went in, and he delivered. He came out of the show as a star. Legit star. And now it's time to capitalize. Now they need to move forward and let him run roughshod through every single person he can. I know that people talk about, oh, you gotta keep him off TV and make him special. No. He needs to cause a path of destruction, leaving no one safe. Can be from the lowest of the low to the highest of high. He doesn't have to wrestle, but the fiend needs to strike somebody every week. He needs to cause chaos and destruction, because then he's a real force. Winning one match is fine. It's not going to do anything for you. Utter destruction, and then you point him at a championship and win that championship. Let him run, because he needs to.
I feel like where the misstep on this was, and this is just me personally from a storytelling perspective, is after the match, you had Finn do a wonderful job of waking up and sitting there like, what just happened? Like, he was completely out of it. He was 100% selling the mandible claw, all of that. And he was just like, what just happened to me? Like, he got bamboozled in a major way because he was not expecting that at all. Like, he was expecting the Bray Wyatt of old, and that is not the Bray Wyatt of old that he got. I feel like if you don't want to have the Fiend on TV, that's fine. Because if they want to keep him special, okay. But where you don't want to use the Fiend, you need to use
Bray.
Prozac Bray. Where he's doing the Firefly House, Firefly Funhouse, there we go, segments. And he's in the Funhouse, and he's like, the first thing you should have had him do, either on Raw or SmackDown, it doesn't matter which show, is you just have him get on the screen and be like, I goddamn told you. You didn't believe me, Finn, and I told you. The Fiend is a force to be reckoned with, and everybody should be afraid of him.
He needs to become your new monster. He is what Braun Strowman should be. He should get the championship. He is your next Brock Lesnar in terms of destroying people in his path. That's what the Fiend is. It's something special, something different. It's an experience, and they built it since the day after WrestleMania. You got people talking about it. You need to run with the ball that's been given to you.
Because, like, here's the thing. I think we've got it in the news, but I'm just going to bring it up right now. They dropped a special limited run Firefly Funhouse set, a box set of stickers, which is where the sticker slang comes from in the promo, or from the opener, you know, and stickers and all, like, pins and artwork, and they made a whole YouTube video with him. 500 of these things were made. They were $40 a piece. They sold out in 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
They have something with this, and I feel like not having him on this week is a little bit of a misstep, because you could have had him on. You could, and I think he was planned for SmackDown. He just didn't make it on. Like, they rewrote the show and they cut him out of the show. Like, he doesn't need to show up as the Fiend every time. That's what the real nice thing about this gimmick is it's like the Fiend does the work. Like, the Fiend just destroys people. Prozac Bray's doing the talking. Mm-hmm. He's self-managing himself.
Mm-hmm. All right. So I want to answer the question in the chat. Tomorrow. The answer is tomorrow. He needs to be your next WWE Universal Champion. Tomorrow. You cannot wait on this. Waiting and delaying it. Matt says the Rumble. Waiting on that?
You can't wait that long.
You're just waiting too damn long. I know they're going Strowman next, so it's like you can't do it next month. But it's like you gotta go fast. You put him in the semi-main event position for a reason. Because you can't do it. You can't just go back to it and like, hey, he wrestles again. He's got his next... It needs to be meaningful. What he does, everything the Fiend does has to be memorable and a spectacle. I'll do the flip side. You saw what happened with Aleister Black, right? They built it and he had his match. And now he's just back to sitting in his closet going, who's going to knock on my door next? You lost it there. With Bray, you gotta push it.
Yeah, they need to hit the gas pedal now. And I mean, it doesn't have to be a lot. Even if it's the Fiend, and I've said this before, the Fiend, or even have the puppets. Do the puppets again, where the puppets are lurking backstage. Something that is a visual reminder of Bray Wyatt, that he's there. He's present. He's lurking, and you don't know who you're going to get. Are you going to see the Fiend? Are you going to see Bray Wyatt? Who are you actually going to get?
I would not have the Firefly Funhouse live.
No, I wouldn't do it live. Here's my reasoning behind that. Is it could go hokey really, really quick, because the whole persona of...
Okay, the person, yeah, you can have him alive, but you can't have the Firefly Funhouse live.
Because he does all the voices for it. Mm-hmm. So you'd have to have him pre-record all the voices, and then you'd have to have the puppeteers. Not that they couldn't production-wise arrange it. There's just a lot of moving parts that could go wrong there. But I feel like it would not be as effective as if you just have Bray out there. But I don't even know if I would put Prozac Bray out in front of a live crowd. I would just purely have him on video. Like, and that's all. Honestly, that's the only place he exists. That could be the working theory. That is the only place that this guy exists, is in these videos. Because as we see him, every time he shows up, he's struggling more and more to contain this monster that he's let out of himself.
Mm-hmm.
Like we saw it with the feud with Finn in the last Funhouse segment, that he was struggling to hold that in. And it's a very much a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde kind of thing. So maybe it's, you know, Dr. Jekyll is on tape and he's the one cutting the promos and he's the one, you know, if you want to see him live, you see him backstage, but you never put him out in front of a live crowd unless you just have him in the crowd. Because it could be funny if they put him on the panel, I'm not going to lie. But, you know, it's like that's where you see him and then it's like you have the Fiend come out and do his fiendish things. But I would not do a full-blown puppeted Funhouse segment live.
No.
If you're going to use the puppets, have them backstage just in camera shots, randomly in camera shots.
But if you would like to hold your own Firefly Funhouse in person, all his stuff is available at WWEshop.com.
Baby got some merch, y'all. He's got some merch. He's got shirts. He's got puppets. He got the boxes, but those are gone. If you want the Devil Vince puppet, by the way, it is for sale.
Yeah.
On shop.com. If you would like it. It's the rabbit, it's the Devil Vince, and it's the buzzard. That are the three puppets for sale. They did not do the pig or Abby. So, there you go. But that does it for SummerSlam. What do you think?
Before we go, you and I went 8-1.
Yeah!
8-Ball went 5-4.
Yeah! We beat the 8-Ball! Woo!
But yeah. Time to go break. We got some news and stuff to get to on the other side.
So, all right, you listen to The Rack right here on wildtalkradio.com, and we will be right back.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
Hey y'all, you want to get social with The Rack? Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/RackRadioShow. Every week, we jump into the world of
awesome
with the Rack Extra Reviews, Ms. and Mrs.
This one had to go out and buy all the toys. She lifted my foot up, stuffed it straight up my ass, and said, I don't care. Kid gets toys.
Yeah, check out the Rack Extra Reviews, Ms. and Mrs. available weekly at wildtalkradio.com and rackradioshow.com.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
Maybe I have one more ass-kicking left in. I thought to myself, maybe I have one badass spear left in me. Then I thought to myself, maybe I have one last devastating jackhammer in me. So, Brock Lesnar, not only does that mean that you're next, but most importantly, it means, Brock Lesnar, you're last!
To the shocking moment.
First off, thank you so much for that. Yeah, what's up, Detroit?
And the moments that leave you speechless.
You know, Chris, if you're going to put something on that list, why don't you start with that terrible scarf of yours? I mean, while I'm looking at you, you can add those rinky-dink tattoos on there, your tacky little haircut, your creepy mustache, and how about those trunks, Sparkle Crotch?
What?
Sparkle Crotch. They're sparkly. Rhinestones all over the place. Sparkle Crotch. Go ahead, get it on the list, write it down. Sparkle Crotch.
I'm going to say this one time. I am not Sparkle Crotch.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
What is the greatest of all time? Saturday nights. We decide from sports, video games, movies, and even the X-rated. You help us decide what is the greatest of all time. It is the Great and Great Debate, a part of your Saturday night.
Event.
CB Radio. Saturday night. Midnight to Houston. On the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Did you know you can use support the creator code ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop? That's ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop.
This is Kane from WWE, and you're listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
To The Rack right here on wildtalkradio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on rackradioshow.com, wildtalkradio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you get a quick second and you know you're on Twitch, you happen to have a Twitch Prime sub available, if you'd like to use it here, well, click that purple button up at the top of, above your screen, and you are welcome to use it here. But if you'd like to use it elsewhere, that's fine too. But
Ninja
we'd really
left.
Like you to use it here.
Ninja Left, use it here. And yes, Ash, use creator code ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop. Use it over and over and over and over again when you buy Tomato Head Man or Dirt Burger Man or whatever skin is offered in the Fortnite item shop right now.
Praise be the holy tomato.
Are you team burger or team tomato? You can buy
you're
the sign.
You're all team tomato if you were listening to this show. You don't get an option.
But if you want to buy them in the shop, use creator code ROCKNSOCK in that item shop right now. They're all available. Go do it. Go do a thing. Hey, Ash, you see when you mention it? I'm going to say it over and over again. Use creator code ROCKNSOCK at the Fortnite item shop. Boom.
Can I do the news now?
Presented by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211.
See, this is why you don't say things like that to him, because he will absolutely whore himself out.
Yep.
He's trained to do it at this point. So, you know, don't poke the bear.
Don't, you don't want to poke
the challenge.
You don't want to poke the bear. It ends badly for you.
Alrighty, so WWE had quite a lot of announcements this week. There aren't any, like, huge stories that came out, but they did announce multiple events. And, you know, one of them is that SmackDown 20 has been announced, where we're going to have the reunion show. Taker is expected to be there, I think, along with a bevy of other stars.
Sting, Hulk Hogan, Goldberg, Trish Stratus, you name it, they're all going to be on the show, SmackDown 20, including Raw roster members, because it's the debut on Fox. So October 4th, SmackDown 20, get your tickets tomorrow.
So there you go there. Can we please? There we go. Love it when the computer pops a notification like right in the middle of the show. That's always helpful. WWE also announced that SummerSlam in next year or for next year will take place in Boston. So SummerSlam 2K20 will be in Boston. They're liking that Northeast.
Well, you know, it's different than being in LA for all those years. So it's like,
they
okay.
Bring it like down south.
They will. They'll get there eventually.
I mean, I know it's hotter than Unholy Jesus down here right now, but, you know.
Hotter. It's hot everywhere.
Yeah, okay. All right, sure. Mm-hmm.
So, okay, so the week is, Friday will be, it's Friday to Monday in Boston. So SmackDown, NXT, SummerSlam, and Raw.
There you go.
For those wanting Tweet of the Week, we're going to close the show with Tweet of the Week.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to end on that.
So stay tuned for Tweet of the Week, coming up after the news presented by MBG Films. YouTube.com/MBG1211.
We're doing stuff out of order tonight because we wanted to do SummerSlam first and get that out of the way. we'll close with tweets. So moving on from that, WWE also announced, you know, 2K20, we got some of the details, including the not really the non-wrestling mode. I guess it's story mode. Is that what this is going to be?
Okay, so which are you talking about? The Bray stuff?
Yeah, we're just going to do the Bray stuff.
Okay, no, let's talk about the whole thing.
Okay, you talk about the whole thing, because you are more knowledgeable about this than I am.
So it was announced last week that WWE 2K20 will be available on October 20th, okay? Or 22nd, something like that. October 22nd. It was announced that Becky Lynch will be on the cover with Roman Reigns. If you haven't seen the commercial, it's a badass commercial. Go check it out. She broke through a glass ceiling. It's awesome.
Into the boys' club.
Into the boys' club. It's pretty well done. So there is that, okay? So you have that. So, for the first time ever, she's on the cut. We're going to have a My Career mode featuring both men and women. Okay?
Yay!
The mixed tag matches are now a staple of the game. So, basically, you do the mixed match challenge, men versus men, women versus women, in its own tag match.
About time.
Which is pretty cool. There's going to be streamlined controls to make it easier on players. So, like, here, if you're new to the game, we'll call her. Her name is Lindsay. If you're new to the game, the controls will be easy to play. You can pick it up right up and just play.
Woo!
If you're more experienced like me, you'll still have those controls as well. But there's going to be a streamlined controls set up for the game.
Thank God, because the that's the one thing I don't like about the game is how complicated it is.
So they took a note of that, and they're like, okay, here we go. So in addition to that, the WWE Towers mode is returning. The little tournament things where you just have to beat a series of opponents. There's also going to be a story-driven one centered around the career of Roman Reigns. What is new about this year is called WWE 2K Originals. WWE 2K Originals are going to be uniquely themed, featuring a showcase episode, which is a story, with new arenas, superstars, story towers, unlockable character parts, arenas, and more. So that's WWE 2K Originals. So this is how this all comes together is you have many versions. You have the standard version of the game, and you have the deluxe. Deluxe version, you get the game, and there's also a WWE SmackDown 20th edition as well. We'll get to that in a second. SmackDown 20th anniversary digital content includes Hulk Hogan, the Rock and Sock Connection version of Mankind.
Oh, God, because you need something else to whore.
Right? They have The Rock in his $500 shirt. That's exactly what it's called. It's called 500 Shirt The Rock. And for the first time in a long time, the ninth wonder of the world, China, will be in the game. Which is cool. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely awesome.
You also get the accelerator. If you buy the deluxe edition, you get all the accelerator, the kickstart thing, and you get supercards for WWE Supercard, and access to all the originals. WWE 2K20 originals. Now, the WWE 2K originals on their own are priced at $14.99. Okay, but if you buy the backstage pass, which used to be the season pass, now called backstage pass, it's $29.99. Or if you buy the deluxe edition, with the anniversary edition, you get a couple like items. You get a signed autograph from either Kurt Angle, Edge, or Rey Mysterio, and there's a couple other little things that are collectors. But that's the genesis of it. So Hulk Hogan's in the game. China's in the game. What is interesting is there's like, you know how every year there's like DLC packs?
Mm-hmm.
Where like there's like four different legend, like a Legends pack, a new pack, and whatever. It feels like this year all the characters are going to be available up front, but these original packs are going to put a different twist, on different characters. Which is where we get to today's news. The first WWE 2K20 original was named. It's called Bumpin' the Night, featuring Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, so let me just give you the story on this one. So we have, if you pre-order Bump in the Night, you get the Fiend Bray Wyatt.
If you pre-order the game, you get the Fiend Bray Wyatt as a part of the WWE 2K20 original.
And you know, again, you're going to get the new objects and dozens of new superstar styles and parts and that kind of thing. You're going to get five new story towers. You're going to get two new arenas that are extra creepy. You're going to get a spooky 2K showcase at the Wyatt compound, which you're talking my language right now.
Which is the story mode.
Which is a story mode.
A semi-story mode. Anyway, continue.
So, let me just read to you what the content is. Mm-hmm. Okay, what the backstory on the showcase is, which is an alternate Swamp Father version of Bray Wyatt has amassed otherworldly power, becoming an embodiment of the swamp itself. He lures Finn Balor to his compound to recruit Finn's demon into his group of powered superstars, which he calls his family. Finn is forced to fight in a series of matches against the Wyatt family until finally the power within Finn is unleashed. And, you know, you also get exclusive commentary with this.
Which is great.
Brings the story to life.
Which is great. It's not generic commentary for these matches. Which is great.
Yay! So, all right, your story towers.
By the way, coming to twitch.tv/WTRLive this fall.
Yeah, he'll be playing it because I'm going to be watching the hell out of this. Mm-hmm. So, 2K towers that are filled with stories and unique versions of WWE superstars. This is who is announced for this as of today, because this dropped today. The Fiend, Bray Wyatt, he stars in his own tower. So the fact that they have The Fiend in the game, seeing as he just showed up at SummerSlam, is pretty badass. Because
yeah,
I know a lot of people were calling for him.
I was worried.
Yeah, a lot of people were calling for The Fiend after the debut, and I think a lot of people would have been pissed if he was not in the game. So the fact that he's in there
means 2K got him and scanned him and everything. So this has all been taken up in well in advance.
They planned it. My God, they have planned this! Anyway, all fed up Sheamus is forced to take on some of his former fellow superstars who have all become zombies.
It looks like he worked at a gas station or something.
The character styling is weird. He's got a tie on his head. It's interesting. But yeah, so Sheamus is in it. Nowhere to run. Twisted Nikki Cross looks to play with other superstars in her own Twisted game.
Which means Nikki Cross has made it back to the video game.
Yay! One of the family, the Swamp Father, Bray Wyatt, decides to bring on one of his past results. Can Daniel Bryan...
Recruits.
Can Daniel Bryan avoid becoming one of the Swamp Father's thralls? By the way, I love the really soapy copy that goes with this, too.
This is tremendous.
This is so good. And last, nowhere to hide. Survivor Mandy Rose has had enough of Twisted Nikki Cross and her games. She's going to do what she can to put an end to the madness.
So, the horror-themed WWE superstars available will be The Fiend Bray Wyatt, The Demon King Finn Balor, The Swamp Father Bray Wyatt, so old-school Bray Wyatt, I guess, Franken Strowman.
No, I think he's restyled.
Maybe he's restyled. Yeah, he might be Zombie Bray, sort of. Franken Strowman, Wicked Aleister Black, Unleashed Apex Predator Randy Orton, Fed Up Sheamus, plus two mystery versions of WWE superstars, aside from Mandy Rose and Nikki Cross. You'll get Womp's Swamp Arena, The Cemetery Brawl Arena, dozens of creative superstar parts, new creative arena parts, makes me happy, which means we'll probably get to mess around with the swamp stuff and the cemetery stuff for actual arenas, new moves, and new weapons.
So,
that's all available if you pre-order the game today and all that fun stuff.
And seeing as there's a cemetery in there, I'm kind of thinking that, you know, maybe a certain dead man might be showing up in this mode.
Maybe.
Because it is a horror mode. Maybe Kane too, but there's no announcement on either of them in this mode.
They're keeping some things a secret.
Yeah, so I would not be the least bit surprised if they are not referenced or if they don't show up at some point in this. But yeah, so for those of you that don't want to buy the full game, the 2K20 originals, Bump of the Night, will also be available for individual purchase. I can talk. And that'll be $14.99.
But it makes sense just to buy the backstage pass for $30 instead of spending $60 on all of them.
So yeah, so this is really cool. I'm really excited to see this. I love that they've come up with this whole original story. I've been kind of hoping that they would do this for a while because like they had the whole commercial series with Suplex City that I've always really loved. And it's like, God, I wish they would build a show off that concept or they would build a game mode off that concept where it's like everybody is there, but they're not just wrestlers. Mm-hmm. There is a whole story like this behind it of explaining why the characters are there and what's really going on and how they all interact. So I'm really curious to see how this goes.
No. All right. So Matt, $30 for the DLC. $30 for the DLC. Not for the game. The game is $60. The DLC is $30 on top.
Do you get it for free on Xbox Gold?
No.
Oh.
You still have to buy the backstage pass. So, speaking of the game, Yuke's, who's been the long back-end partner for the WWE games for like 20 years, will no longer working with WWE games. Visual Concepts is taking over. The Yuke's engine will still be the one running the game, but Yuke's will no longer be the maintaining, updating, and all that fun stuff about the game. It's now going to be handed over to the 2K people of Visual Concepts.
There you go.
Which is an interesting change. We'll see how Yuke's is now going to go work on their own wrestling project, whatever that may be. Have to find out what it could be.
But gee, I wonder who it could be.
Maybe a Japan game. So they're no longer working with WWE at this point. It's just they've gotten to a point where things have just sort of creatively stalled. So it's like, we're going to break away for now. So there you go.
Well, Yuke's has done the WWE game for forever.
For like 20-something years, yeah.
So I'm not surprised that at this point they're like, hey, maybe we want to do something different. So we'll see how this goes. Did Yuke's do this one?
Yuke's is, no, Visual Concepts is doing it, but they're still using the Yuke's engine.
Okay, so Visual Concepts is behind 2K20?
Yeah, and they've been behind when they took over the franchise when it became 2K.
Mm-hmm.
Visual Concepts was working on the game. Now they're just fully in control.
Okay, there you go. So, all right, another big story of this week and an announcement by WWE, because it all ties together, is that Roman Reigns has officially re-signed a very fat contract with the company. So if you were hoping that Roman Reigns was going to leave, well, I got some bad news for you on that. He's not staying around for the long term.
He's not going to AEW?
No.
No, well,
I don't think they can afford him at this point, because I believe it was an undisclosed amount of money, but it was a lot of money.
Oh, yeah. It was a super amount of money.
You clip that?
Uh-huh.
Oh, God. Super. All right. That's okay. I got stickers. It's fine. Everything is fine.
Yowie wowie! You...
What?
Yowie wowie!
Oh, God. By the way, if you missed... This is the last thing I'm going to say on Bray until we do Tweets of the Week, because he's in that too.
I'm just getting it in there.
Of course he is. It's the Bray Wyatt show tonight, in case you didn't notice. If you missed the YouTube video of Bray Wyatt doing the infomercial for his limited run boxes, y'all need to go find it and watch it. It is hilarious. It is absolutely hilarious. The boy knows how to shill.
Mm-hmm.
They need to point out they slept on him.
I know, right?
Really, really, really hard.
Mm-hmm.
So
there you go. A quick note, AEW has signed Orange Cassidy.
This, I think, was a little bit of a controversial signing for them, as I recall.
Yeah, I'll just call it that. I don't have the highest opinion on the character, so just move on.
We'll see where this leads to. Anyway, let's do the Blame Brands.
Bones breaking, backs cracking, shoulders snapping. It's this week's Injury Roundup.
All right, so Kavita Devi has a torn ACL.
# blame Brent.
So sorry to hear that. Hope she feels better soon. And this isn't a blame Brent, but this is a follow-up to an outstanding blame Brent, and that is Paige. She has undergone neck surgery.
Yeah, she had to go back under the knife because of everything that happened. They thought it would heal. It did not heal, so she went back under the knife either yesterday or today. So, there you go.
So, feel better soon, Paige. And we hope everything goes well, because she said, or she indicated, that if this works, she might be able to wrestle again.
No, I don't think so. I think it's just you can't wrestle again after another surgery. I think that's... The surgery is the end of it.
She's kind of hinting at it.
Well, then that's her. She'd be... stupid.
I think she's hoping for it.
She's hoping, but yeah. Anyway,
WWE also announced their brand new Performance Center class, including Austin Theory. Gee, didn't he just show up at TakeOver?
Huh.
Brianna, Hijo del Fantasma, Jesse, Marcos Gomez, Rita Reese, and Santana Garrett.
Longtime indie star Santana Garrett makes her full signing with WWE. Congrats.
They finally got her.
Mm-hmm.
Finally.
Finally.
So yeah, very outstanding class. Should be fun to see them come up through the ranks. I would expect that certain people make it to TV faster than others.
Probably. So, Tweet of the Week?
Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Sad when I go to Twitter and I found another tweet for Tweet of the Week.
Well,
cool. We have more content. All right, go.
All right, so we have like 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Of, you know,
tweets.
So I'm trying to get to the bottom of my tweets because I have a lot. There we go. All right.
No SmackDown rundown this week. We kind of mixed it in with SummerSlam.
Did I do the Uncle Jack tweets? I don't remember.
I don't remember.
Yeah, I did them because, yeah. Okay. All right. So Nick A30, I'm just going to start here. And if I did them 2 weeks ago, oh well, you get to hear me again. Nick A30. What are the best ways to counter robots in Fortnite?
No, you have not.
Very apt right now.
You have not said these before.
Okay. All right. Team firing with your teammate quickly before it sees you. Boogie bombs, maintaining high ground. Anything else? Dr. Lupo. Run directly at them. Screaming. Ninja. Running away. Gubba. Or just run away crying. Nick A30 replies to Ninja, the best strat. Courage. Dear Epic. I love you guys. I really do, but whoever decided to add 10 Optimus Primes to the map in every game in Season 10 needs to be put in timeout. Why do these things have 1,000 HP, a protective shield, 10 missiles to launch, and can stomp my ass out? With love, Uncle Jack. Ewok replies, Dear Uncle Jack, because it takes that much to take you out. Love, your e-niece. Jordan Fisher follows it up with, Dear Soleil, be nicer to Uncle Jack. He's been simulating a relationship on his Oculus Rift, and she broke up with him tonight. He needs some extra love. Love, your e-dad. Why are they like this?
Because they are. That's the way it is. They are. That's who they are.
Oh, and in terms of Nick A30's and Miss Ewok's, where she says, use code Dr. Lupo to get rid of bots.
You can also use code RocketSocket for Fortnite shop. Anyway, continue.
There it is. Ninja. To the guy getting arrested who waved at me, behave better. But also have a wonderful day. Let's see. Blake Smell. Dear Fortnite game, get rid of the mech. Thanks for making bad kids good. And there's a little face palm. Trevor May replies, I like being good, though.
Oh, poor Trevor. Anyway, continue.
Courage. Oh, my God. 1 p.m. Pacific time. Like if you're ready. And it's a picture of him, Jordan Fisher, and Nade Shot on the roof in the Ariana Grande video. Dr. Lupo replies, I'm in my basement with no pants on, posted already. Courage goes, Ben, I'm so excited. Few more hours making final tweets. I love how secure Lupo is in just himself. Like, uh-huh. I really do love that. I wish I was that secure in myself.
By the way, if you haven't seen Courage JD's music video for Ariana Grande, he shot his shot. Check it out. It's on his YouTube channel. Just Google
her. And she ignored it. Mm-hmm. Well, she didn't ignore it. Like, she responded to the video, but he asked her out, and she just, like...
Well, you know. He shot a shot. Go check it out. It's at Kurt JD on YouTube.
It's all right. Ryan Satin. Joe's gonna kill you. ... Unless someone else tries to do it first, and he's a really nice guy who makes sure you get medical attention. Thanks, Joe! Robert Hobo Baines replies to Ryan Satin. Joe is gonna kill you, and no one else. If you're hurt, he's going to nurse you back to health one day at a time and feed you soup until you're back to 100% strength. And then he's going to kill you. In case anybody is wondering what that's in reference to, that's when somebody tried to take Roman Reigns out with a car.
Mm-hmm.
Paige, TSA. Anyone tell you you look like Paige? Me. All the time. TSA. Yeah, I know you're not, but it's still cool you look like her. Random lady in line. It is her, sir. TSA. No, it's not. She doesn't have the British accent. Facepalm.
What else?
Alexia Ray, just want Dennis to put straws in our noses so we can link our respiratory systems and breathe as one living organism. Dr. Lupo replies, same.
That was a tweet. That was a tweet. That's what happened when you start getting drunk on your birthday. Anyway.
Yeah. 100 Thieves Noah, I just tuned in to a Fortnite stream for the first time since Season 10 to see what it was all about. I also just watched Tim the Tatman get 7 kills in 3 minutes holding right click in the new mech. Who signed off on that thing, LMFAO? Dr. Lupo replies, way to give me credit for driving, geez. Dr. Lupo, if you pour milk into your cereal bowl first before putting cereal in, you failed humanity as a whole. Hope your parents never find out because they will 100% be disappointed in what you become after all the years you spent under their roof. Cereal first, no exceptions. How do you put it in with the milk already in? How does that even work?
That's weird.
That's really weird how you would do that, because how much milk do you know to put in? Like, do you just fill your bowl up with milk and then you just like...
You just figure
it out. How does
that
work?
You figure it out.
That is... No, he's right. No. Dr. Lupo. Sometimes I like to fill my bathtub with Skittles and pretend I'm Godzilla in a ball pit.
Okay.
Again, weird. Courage JD. Hey, and he's replying to True Edits and Swap. Hey, tell your editor to stop harassing my editor or else we will have problems, fatty. And he tweets at Tim the Tat Man. Tim responds, don't ever call me fatty again, you little fat man. Ninja puts out a video with his phone number. Yes, this is my number. I will receive each and every text. I will try to reply as many as possible. This is going to be fun long term. Dr. Lupo replies, so this is where I send the new... Wait. Ben, you've already sent him nudes. We all know this.
We'll get to that in a minute.
Marshmallow. Sorry, I have a lot of tweets. I should probably mention that before. Marshmallow, I'm a little pot. Tim, fat and stout. Braps, here is my Twitch Prime. Where is my clout?
You can use your Twitch Prime here at twitch.tv/W2LF.
Courage JD, like this tweet. Dr. Lupo, like this tweet more. Dave Myler, like this tweet for them to stop. Dr. Lupo replying, this is a war that will never end and you know it. Dave Myler, there can only be one. Jordan Fisher, Like the tweet the most. He follows that up with this. Ugh, ruined. Never mind, guys. I'm a bot. Unlike Austin Creative talking about SummerSlam and I believe Bray Wyatt in general. I am very sports entertained. So Bray Wyatt puts out a tweet. Dear at WWE Games, yowie wowie. And this is in response to the bump in the night mode that we talked about before. P.S. I call dibs on the cover next year. He follows that up with P.P.S. at Vince McMahon with the little emoji pointing up.
Mm-hmm.
Aleister Black sees this.
Okay, so you got the one I just saw. Got it.
Yeah. I'd like to talk to you about that. I have this door, see? Bray Wyatt responds, that's crazy. I have a door, too.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the picture of him...
With the Vince puppet.
With the Vince puppet pointing... at the camera in the white gym shirt. And I finally reached the end of my tweets.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not saying I would be opposed to Bray and Aleister Black. I'm really not. I'm just...
Wait on it. Yeah. All right. Drake Maverick update. I told my wife that a pregnant woman is now the 24/7 champion. She said, oh, she's pregnant. Some women have all the luck. Still have yet to consummate my marriage.
Is he really, like, can he just, like, bang his wife real quick?
Not without title. Kathy Kelly, true story, a couple years ago, I ran into a forklift at an NXT taping, and I still have a scar. Forklifts are dangerous. The whole Roman Reigns thing.
Mm.
Courage JD, I really am infinitely happier living in California than I lived in Texas. So glad I moved where I wanted to be. Life is good. Elektra. Okay, like, just tell me you hate it living close to me. Dr. Lupo. He talks about it constantly. She goes, I knew it. Kevin Owens, update. Number one, I suck. More to come. Golf update two, I still suck, but I saw a frog. Golf update three, if the goal of the game was to hit as many trees as possible with the ball, I'd be the absolute king. Also, I saw a bee. Ninja. Woke up and within the first 10 seconds, I stepped in dog shit. How's your morning? Courage. Damn. You stepped on a Fortnite mech?
Jack!
Dr. Lupo, imagine VR multiplayer. We could finally live out our fantasy in space together, but butt naked in real life. That's a thing.
Again, he is completely secure in who he is, and I love that about him.
Pokemon. There are three certainties in life. Death. Taxes. Every 3 weeks, the Fortnite community begs the developers to remove something new from the game. Yep.
Pretty accurate.
Caleb Braxton, I know it's going to be a good day when I ordered chips and salsa, and buried in my chips, I found a few stray french fries. Hashtag Canada. Dr. Lupo, if these things stay as they are, I really want to cast a competitive Fortnite event with Courage City so we could both burst into laughter as a set of pro players get rocketed across the map or stepped on to death. Absolutely outskilled, incredible. I'm going to drink tonight. Corey Graves, shout out to my bestie Renee Young, who managed to age 3 full decades this week by enrolling in a knitting class. Hopefully she reads this before bed at 6 p.m. Renee Young, shove it. You'll love the sweater I make you. Or maybe socks, CT. Gets pretty cold. David Hero, does anyone have the new AOL online update disc so I can watch SummerSlam without the buffering? I must have AOL 1.0. Yep, that was a thing. Geek Chick TV, I wonder how many dick pics Ninja got tonight. Dr. Lupo, I sent him 3. Just saying. Someone named Rod, at Slasher goes, this is some good ass smash. Dr. Lupo, things I've said to Mrs. Dr. Lupo in bed for 400, Alex. He just...
That man needs to get laid.
Well,
and did. I know he is. Like, that's the really bad part about it. Is yes. he just needs some, mm-hmm. like right now.
Alex Bliss, you know what's really great? Getting up at 4 a.m., Ubering to the airport to find out that Nikki Cross and I... we're only booked on standby. Air Canada, we challenge you to a tag team match. Winner gets us seats on the plane. Loser gets a seat on the plane.
Wait, why do they only get... What? That sucks.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Let's see. Bray Wyatt. Dear Bully... Bully Ray tweeted Bray about asking for apologies. So Bray Wyatt goes, Dear Bray Wyatt, I'm sorry. Dear Bully Ray, I'm sorry. Devon assured me we were already best friends. But it was the polka dot mastodon Tommy Dreamer that tried to commit manslaughter on my partner Luke Harper, all while wearing a thick coat of mayonnaise on his skin. Hashtag big heat. And finally, Courage JD. Ninja and his beautiful wife Jess celebrate their anniversary this week. Lupo and his beautiful wife Sam celebrating their anniversary today, which was yesterday. I celebrated when I named my first pet Parm on Minecraft yesterday. He is a chicken. Chicken Parm. My life. Is in shambles. That's where he's been drawn to because of Fortnite. He is naming his pets in Minecraft.
I think he updated with like how many he's up to.
He's been grinding that Minecraft.
He's like all about it, man. He's doing like these long streams with it and everything. He's so into it.
But that's okay. We're still here with Fortnite. Next. Because that was Tweet of the Week.
Okay, update. Just to fill people in on Jack and his Minecrafting. Day 3 of playing Minecraft. I've got 26 cows, 18 sheep, 12 chickens, 6 boats, 2 houses, and 1 horse. But still no girlfriend. Damn.
I think that does it.
No, this one does it.
Okay.
1 week ago, I filmed a music video with Ariana Grande. Today, I found a vein of 8 diamonds on Minecraft and used my Fortune 3 pickaxe to get 16 diamonds. My life is a movie. I mean, that's not a lie.
Not a lie.
So, alright, that does it for us. You've got stuff to plug, so plug away.
Coming up next will be Fortnite with friends. We got challenges and stuff. I don't know what we're doing. We'll figure it out here in a minute. Saturday Night Midnight-ish, we're taking revenge on the intern on the Grill of the Great Debate. What is it? Just gotta wait. You just gotta wait and find out. Saturday morning, we'll tell you. We'll tell you what it all is, but we're getting some devilish revenge on the intern. Midnight-ish, CRadioLive.com. If there's stuff for them to talk about, Russell Talk Radio will be on air Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. Monday night, there'll be a Raw Post Show to 11 p.m. Eastern. Check out the Rack Extra Reviews, Ms. and Mrs. Episode 18 now available. Episode 19 will be available on Tuesday. We'll be back live next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll actually have to come up with discussion and topic and things. I don't know. We'll talk about it with SmackDown, NXT, you name it. So Rack Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. Rack Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. At Wild Talk Radio on Twitter, Facebook.com. So it's Wild Talk Radio Network. Follow, subscribe, Twitch.tv/WTLive. Amazon Prime account. Link it to your Twitch account. It's called Twitch Prime. You can subscribe for free. Ninja Left, we're still here. We're still going to play Fortnite for you and Fortnite with friends. Just hit the button. Do the thing. Or you can use credit card RocketSock at the Fortnite item shop.
And you can follow me on most of the social medias at LinsWard, LNSWRD, including my Twitch channel, which is live right now with the broadcast of this show. So if you'd like to give it a follow, I'd really greatly appreciate it. I have no sounders or anything set up yet, working on it. So if you follow, if you subscribe, anything like that, Thank you very much. I truly appreciate it. And well, speaking of giving people a follow, don't forget to follow our very fine sponsor, mbgfilmsyoutube.com/mbg1211. Ring that bell for him, because he puts out some amazing content. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Everybody sit tight, because we will be right back with Fortnite with Friends. Till then, bye!
WildTalkRadio.com.